on Saturday, I walked along a street where time-worn cobblestones peeked through patches of aging asphalt. Overhead, palm trees and centuries-old live oaks formed a tangled canopy, their limbs draped in long strands of Spanish moss that swayed in the coastal breeze. The road led to Thalian Hall, the only surviving theater designed by John Montague Trimble in 1858, one of the most prominent theater architects in the 19th century. Built when Wilmington was the largest city in North Carolina, the hall stands as a monument to the city's cultural past. But on this day, it was a gathering place for something very present. Women organizing for Wilmington and local labor unions were rallying on the steps of the historic building. Banners hung from its tall columns, and a crowd of about 300 people filled the lawn and spilled onto both corners of the sidewalk, holding signs that read, "Make lying wrong again, reject fascism, and save democracy." During the rally, it was the youngest speaker who drew the loudest applause.
My name is Henry, and I am 10 years old. I am a citizen of New Hanover County. I just want to say something about Kennedy. He says that people like me are ruining families, but it's not us, it's him.
After the rally, I spoke with members of the crowd to better understand how the unraveling of the federal government is impacting the lives of southeastern North Carolinians. The first person I spoke with was a retired city administrator who had once been appointed by the state's conservative governor. He told me he had been a lifelong Republican until now.
I left a Republican. I don't want to say I left a Republican. They left me. Look at the millions of people in this country that it will touch. And I mean seriously, not only touch, but smash. Everybody has a stake in what's being lost. And we didn't get this way after 240 years for nothing. And you can't just come in and say, well, I don't like it and I want to take it all apart. That's not what we're about. We've never been about. We've abandoned our allies around the world. And we need them. We all are in this together, whether it's here at home or anywhere on this globe. And we've got to be aware of that. And we're losing that. And we're losing it out of anger and stupid arrogance. And it's wrong. It's wrong for America.
More than a quarter of Wilmington's population identifies as non-white. Yet, among the hundreds gathered at the protest, fewer than a dozen attendees were BIPOC. I spoke with a woman who reflected on what it means to live in the South under what she described as a racist administration and how their community continues to feel the weight of policies that deepen inequality and erode trust in government.
I'm Carla Knox. I'm from Leland. I'm right here. I'm from here. So honestly, I'm not so sure how it's impacting me, but I'm a black woman in America. I've always been impacted. I've always been turned down, looked away, doors locked. Oh my God, you know. But it's sad and embarrassing, but also powerful. Cause like just my presence strikes fear. But yeah, I mean, I'm a woman, you know, so that's gonna impact me. And you know, and I'm not married, and I date a white guy. Is my relationship next? Is my bank account next? Is my vote next? What's next? You know?
Can I ask kind of a personal question? I didn't really hear a lot of calls for more black community, more Latino community. Like, I look around and it is very like old and white.
It's America, what's new? You know, and these kinds of things, I try to get the word out on these events. I've sent some to a group chat that I'm in with my executive board. I'm an official in one of our unions in town. So the unions are alive and kicking in the South. Don't let anyone tell you different. We have a COC coalition. But yeah, I think there's so much disenfranchisement with black folk around here that they think, oh, that's the white people job to go out there and raise hell, and they just don't show up, or more importantly, they don't know. And like that one sign said, like, the resistance is over and this is the rebellion. You know, it's too late, you know, y'all didn't want to listen. We the people, damn it.
Earlier this month, the New Hanover County Board of Education voted to censure board member Tim Merrick during a special meeting. According to a statement from the county's Democratic Party, Merrick faced censure for, quote, responding to a concerned faculty member who reached out in fear of potential persecution, simply for displaying a small 2-inch pride flag in their classroom, close quote. The party said that they believe Merrick was targeted for standing up for inclusivity and the right to express support for queer students and staff. The board's partisan makeup has 5 Republican members and 2 Democrats, a dynamic that continues to shape local debates over education policy and classroom expression. One board member who voted against the censure spoke with us after the rally.
Hi, my name is Judy Justice, and I actually am on the local school board, member of the school board, and I came out today to support everybody because this is a democracy, and it's being destroyed by a wannabe fascist who's nothing but an overgrown toddler who's literally destroying the world's economy along with our democracy. I have a lot of friends that are on retirement incomes, and they've lost tens of thousands of dollars. It's heartbreaking, and they've worked their whole lives. That's scary. But on top of that, being working in the schools and being on a school board and having the Dear Colleague letter from the Fuhrer, the orange idiot, whereas he tells people that he's doing away with certain programs he has absolutely no control over. So what he's saying is illegal. And on top of being illegal, he's doing it in a very bullying way, threatening to take away the money, which he can't because legally he doesn't have control of it. That's the 3 branches of the government. That's the legislative branch. He's the executive branch. And I sit up there on that school board, and we're trying to figure out how to do his DEI order, diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is part of a classroom and part of the schools and part of our society. And you literally cannot. And I sat up there going, we teach our kids, and I used to teach civics, we teach our kids about government and how leaders are supposed to behave in a democracy, and he's violating everything that I teach. How can I go up here and say that we're going to do that and be some kind of role models for our kids on top of the fact that he's a freaking bully, and we're constantly telling our kids not to be bullies and to be better citizens? So this, how does it affect my life? Constantly, every day, I'm very upset that it's gotten this far. Only 70 million people voted for him. 70 million didn't because they didn't vote at all. And because of that, the whole world's literally suffering. So we got to do better next time. We're getting people out. Thank God. That's why we're here today, and we need to keep it up.
Hi, I'm Fran Downey, and I came out because I have to stand up and I have to be heard and encourage other people, more importantly, encourage other people to do the same. I had the opportunity to speak for the first time in public, and it was it's empowering, it's humbling, and I've got friends that they can't come to rallies and stuff for fear that they may be deported, which is just insane. And I've got family on both sides, and to see the dysfunction that's going on there. I've got friends in all the populations that are being targeted, and especially the military. So I can't say, I stand on what I consider privilege, which shouldn't be privilege, it should be level playing ground. So I can't say other than possibly our portfolios or whatever is getting affected, but butterfly effect, we're all part of each other, and as one goes down, we all go down, and I just, seeing me do it brings other people out, because that's what we need, people. I have the privilege to be able to speak, and not everybody does, and so I'm going to.
On April 18th, journalist and blogger Aaron Reed reported that more than 850 anti-LGBTQ+ bills have already been filed across the country in 2025, the highest number in U.S. history. She called it an especially difficult year for transgender Americans, who are facing a rollback of rights and declining access to critical resources. I got a chance to speak with a transgender activist who attended the rally. For their safety, we are not sharing their name, as they feared potential retaliation at their workplace.
I'll go by A. I'm a trans, queer, disabled person. It's getting f***ed by the administration, and I think that we need to come together as a community to pay attention to all of the things that they're doing wrong and hold them accountable for their actions. We need to be able to have the numbers together and join together to actually have one solid mission to call them out on their because otherwise they're just going to continuously harm marginalized communities. BIPOC folks, trans people, queer people, immigrants, disabled folks are completely getting run over by all of this. And the cult mentality that MAGA supporters and Trump supporters have is really destroying our entire country. I'm an activist in the community, but also my career is within LGBTQ advocacy. So I see the direct impacts of the folks that I work with and that I work to support losing access, right? So losing access to hormones, losing access to care, being denied basic medical care because they're trying to get help for something completely unrelated to their transness and being turned away. Every area where you can think about somebody being denied care, trans people are being denied care. When it comes to HRT, that's probably one of the biggest attacks right now in trying to remove access to HRT. Places like Florida that are targeting trans adults. Starts with them saying that they're targeting youth. We know that that's not true. They just don't like trans people. And we're seeing the results of that, right? And we're seeing people be more open and violent with their rhetoric because these bills and this legislation is giving people the courage to speak up and be transphobic and to spew transphobic rhetoric to everybody that not only then is going to specifically harm trans people because of the legislation, but also because of the societal norms that we have. There's barely any places, especially in the Southeast, where trans people are able to safely go and be and exist and receive care just like anybody else.
What do you say to trans youth?
Yeah, I think that it's okay to understand that it's scary and to accept that because, you know, there's power in being able to understand your circumstances and what is going on. But also knowing that our community is really f***ing strong. Sorry, I don't know if I can swear. But we're resilient, not because we always want to be, but because we have been, right? Our community, the queer community as a whole, has been built on trans women of color, right? We are resilient. We have, you know, power in numbers. We have community. Things do get better. Things can be scary right now, and it's okay to acknowledge that, but also keep hope. Our community is one of the best things about us, and making sure that you're trying to seek support and make connections and find those people, even if it's just online and queer communities online and things like that, finding your people and finding people to support you is going to help you go really far and help you find your community and your chosen family if you don't have a supportive family, and to just keep going because, you know, times are scary, but that's nothing new to our community, right? The trans community has always had its ups and downs, and we're going to come out on top every time because we always do.
I caught up with one of the rally organizers, Lynn Shoemaker, who spoke about the intersection of labor rights and social justice.
If we're talking about our federal government, 60,000 of them who have lost their jobs or are on, 60,000 people are laid off or have been terminated. Those are union folks too, a lot of them. And I'm the president of the Southeastern North Carolina Central Labor Council and vice president of the AFL-CIO in North Carolina. So it's a federation of labor unions. And so we represent all of them. And it's to protect workers' rights and to protect the contracts under which they work. And millionaires, billionaires don't want union because it protects the worker. So that's a passionate cause to be behind right now.
As the founder of Women Organizing for Wilmington pointed out, Southeastern North Carolina is one of the fastest growing regions in the state. And with that growth comes a shift in the political landscape. New Hanover County is home to the city of Wilmington and has drawn national attention as a political bellwether. Unlike some recent town hall rallies across the country that have seen political violence or use of tasers, this event remained peaceful. Organizer Shoemaker said she's grateful to have the support of the city staff and its police.
Well, I've lived here my entire adult life. And so, you know, I know folks. You heard me refer to the mayor as Billy. Most people call him Bill. But I've known Billy. I know his sisters. And The police department has been nothing but helpful for us. They actually trained our peace monitors in how to de-escalate. They typically, if we're any threat at all, they're following social media and the Facebook, and they will send out folks. We usually have a sniper on that roof right up there who is protecting us. And so we feel safe. And yeah, we are a progressive little community. I don't know that we're blue, but we're definitely progressive. So it's more independent, free thinking. And we did, like, we carried New Hanover County. We were a little blue dot in a big red sea. Kamala Harris won here. We won almost all of our races here. And as soon as the Supreme Court is decided, we will have won that too, hopefully, because Allison won. And the same votes that her opponent wants to kick out are the same votes that helped elect the people that he is loyal to. Yeah, and if they don't count for him, then they shouldn't count for any of the other candidates either. Right? There's not been a problem until now, and Griffin just won't let go. He puts the sore in loser.
North Carolina continues to draw national attention as it remains the only state in the country with an uncertified Supreme Court race from 2024. Despite multiple recounts confirming Democrat Allison Riggs' narrow 734-vote victory, Republican candidate Jefferson Griffin has continued to challenge the results. His efforts are now focused on a smaller pool of military and overseas ballots, around 1,400 of which could potentially be tossed. Former Governor Pat McCrory, a Republican himself, expressed concern and told reporters, quote, "I wanted the Republican judge to win because his philosophy more aligns with me. But in order to take that seat, you've got to earn the seat and win the seat. And in this case, he was defeated," close quote. The former governor warned that overturning the result could set a dangerous precedent. Judge Riggs is expected to take the case to federal court. Reporting from Wilmington, North Carolina, I'm Lauren Schmidt.